Welcome to Man Walks Into a Rabbit Hole. This is Amitabh. A few friends of mine and me, which is Dipti, Abhijit and me, three of us actually recorded a session yesterday in some other context. We were speaking about dreams and we recorded it. We liked it a lot, we are narcissistic. We liked the conversation, so we thought this might be a good fit for Man Walks Into the Rabbit Hole. So the rest of the recording is really the three of us chatting, and we are talking about dreams. It's fairly unscripted. In fact, it's completely unscripted. Dipti is the one who's asking all the questions, and Abhijit and I are giving our answers. I am over intellectualizing the problem is probably one way to look at it, and probably that's true. But my challenge is I really don't remember a lot, right? So that's the only way I am, and that's the only way I talk or I think. So hopefully it's a great chat. Hopefully you enjoy listening to it, and that's about it. So have a listen to the rest of the chat. Thank you.
Today's subject is dreams, unlimited, not the entertainment company, but we're going to talk about our dreams. As a quick intro, for me, dreams are not about, you dream and then you have courage to live, and it's not about all that. In fact, for me, dreams is a ulta process, reverse process. I think for all the stuff in reality that is not possible, and I lack courage in, my subconscious keeps reminding me in my dreams what my life could possibly be, and that's what dreams mean to me. Today we're going to find out from Amitabh, Abhijit and me, the wise goat Dipti, what dreams are for them, what do dreams mean for them, and what are their dreams like. And interestingly enough, today I'm going to MC the first time in a U/A certificate. We're not going to do A at the outset. Because without Saswat, I'm not going to do A. Over to Abhijit and Amitabh. So Amitabh, let's go first with you. What are dreams to you? What do they mean to you? How do you look at them? What are your dreams like?
Wow. No, I don't. I don't daydream. I used to daydream as a kid. I don't daydream anymore. Like, not in the last 20, 25 years. I dream incessantly at night, but can't remember a single thing. Can't remember even one instance unless I've woken up with a bit of a shock. But then again, I just remember that I am shocked. I don't remember anything. I do sometimes remember a few things here and there, like an image or something like that. But I cannot do what others do. Like, I have heard a lot of people describe their dreams very well. I cannot do that. And I know that I am entering a dream state at night. So I am conscious till that point. Like, I know I am entering a dream state. But I get a lot of ideas in my dreams. I know that because when I'm dreaming, I tell myself that this is a great idea, especially around writing poems, books, ideas around plot points. So I get a lot of ideas. But unless I wake up and note, which I probably never do, but unless I wake up and note, it doesn't work. Last thing around dreams are I dream a lot. I mean, I actually dream quite a bit, especially even in light sleeping. I know this because now I have realized it over years. I sometimes remember dreams in a very obscure manner, and I'll explain what that means. I sometimes end up mixing up what I saw in a dream with my reality. And then somebody tells me this never happened. And I am almost shell-shocked that this never
happened. Like the deja vu.
It's a bit like deja vu, but it's almost like me walking to Dipti and saying, you remember we ate that burger the other day. And she says, which burger? I haven't eaten a burger with you in many years.
So
I describe this in vivid detail to that person. I say, look, we were sitting, we were eating. You were wearing this kind of dress. This is what you spoke. And that person says, no, never happened. And then I have actually had the worry or whatever, that feeling that, look, he or she is pulling a fast one. And then I really ask them, then at least one or two cases may people have told me, look, I'll prove to you I was not even in the same city on the day you're talking about. So that's how I've gotten to know that sometimes this is happening. And now I'm worried because I know 2-3 times it has happened or even more. I am now worried how much what my memory is dreamt and how much of my memory is real. Like, how much corruption has happened is not clear.
But that's a nice way to live, no? Your reality and the line, the thin line between illusion and the reality is actually interspersed at some point, which is an interesting way to live. I mean, look at the possibilities, no? You're already like having real chats in your head, and then when you meet these people, you continue it from that point.
It is a little worrisome, right? Because usually our minds are able to distinguish between dream and real. And that is why there is a safety valve that you won't remember. And that safety valve, I think, broadly works very well for me. Broadly, right? Because like, you wake me up literally in 30 seconds, I can't remember anything. Like, I'm blank. All I will know is I was probably shocked or scared or I was running. That's all I can tell you. I cannot tell you anything else, which country, what location, what I was doing, nothing. So I think that safety wall seems to be working reasonably well. But if that safety wall is working in a way where it is still leaking into my active memory without me knowing, something is very unusual there. I researched a bit on this. Happens to some people. So it's not unheard of in research to have this circumstance. But not too much is documented in research. It's obscure to get it's obscure to get enough people to register for this kind of research. So it's not an easy subject to research.
Can I ask you some? Do you like dreaming?
I dream incessantly. So if I start sleeping, even my first stage of sleep, which is, let's say, like if I'm very tired, I start sleeping in about 2 minutes, 10 minutes or something like that. Right? The minute I start sleeping, and that's why I know, because there I'm still, my conscious brain is still active, right? I know I have started dreaming. Because what happens when I start dreaming is, I have said this, or I've written this somewhere in the past, right? Not said, I've written. What happens to me is, it's exactly the feeling of passing out. I don't know whether you guys, so passing out has a very strange problem. For me, I don't know how all of you think about passing out. So I passed out about 4 or 5 times in the last 20 years. And every time when I'm passing out, I remember that last feeling, right? And that last feeling
is there is a thought which is coming, and it is coming as a proper well-formed thought, but there is me and my conscious brain saying, I didn't think this. And it's a very, very disorienting feeling. It's very disorienting. In that 1 second, like I passed out last year, so this is very fresh in my head. That feeling is so disorienting. It leaves you, like it leaves me shocked for many, many, many days, many months, many years. Dreaming is exactly like that. I know that now strange ideas have started mixing, but it is not disorienting like the passing out, because that passing out happens literally like it's like somebody just put holika whatever that pump my water and is throwing it in your face, or like they started the fire engine and they started blowing water at 3000 forces at you, right? So 3000 newton meters at you. So my point is, I know I start dreaming, and usually it's a good indicator for me that I'm beginning to sleep. So when I'm struggling to sleep, I watch out for that indicator that I am beginning to, like things are gonna getting mixed a bit. But that passing out feeling, and we'll talk later or whenever, is very bizarre. I could talk for hours on that, but there's nothing much to talk because there's nothing much you can easily explain of that feeling. But maybe that's what dying also feels, and that's why they say that dying is such a scary experience.
No, maybe. We're not going towards dying. Not at this point.
Why?
So you're passing out. Is that because you're drunk, pass out? Or is it because some subconscious takes over and you don't know what happens next? So there's a conscious moment and then you don't know what happens next.
No,
and I this passed is like as random out, as that.
I remember four times, at least in recent memory, right? Once I passed out because of pain, which happened last year. Then I passed out.
One second. Passing out of pain, by the way, is a very real thing, which means it's that subconscious taking over because your conscious mind is now saying, I cannot bear
I'm not saying there's anything odd there. It's perfectly legal biochemical or biomechanical process which is happening in your body. But I'm just saying, because you're still in control for a brief second or two as that process is kicking in, and as I said, it's happened to me 4-5 times. Every time it's left me completely disoriented when I come back. Completely. Like, I walk around like a dazed person for the next 2, 3, 4 weeks saying, I've seen a ghost, something like that. It's very bizarre for me.
But it's very interesting. The question I asked you was, do you like dreaming? And you've told me that there are 20 instances where you passed out.
I said four or five instances in the last 20 years.
X number. But what about passing out.
Well, I don't said, mind do like dreaming, and I don't think dreaming is a choice for me. Like, I incessantly dream. If I sleep for 3 minutes, I will dream for 3 minutes. I know that. I'm 100% sure of this statistic. Like,
do you like it? Do you like that feeling of something else taking
over? I don't think it's a control thing. Like, I don't think it's a conscious thing. I think it's a subconscious thing.
Which is why I'm asking, but do you like it? Do you like that feeling of being transported into a place where you don't pretty much control it?
I don't mind it at all. And actually, I think post the first 5 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever is the right time, I'm not a neuroscientist, but let's say 10 minutes. I think it feels like it's really happening, right? So you don't have a reason to say I dislike it. Because by the 10th or 11th minute, your mind is now completely, that is the reality, and the real reality is gone. Right? There is no real reality anymore. That is your only reality. So it's okay. I mean, it feels like this is real life.
It's okay. We'll come back to that later, because I really don't think that was... You basically told me about the process of dreaming or how you approach dreams, etc. So you're basically saying that this is the reality of a dream. It comes, there's pretty much nothing that you can control, and it happens. It happens every time you sleep. There are times where you probably have nightmares. It's called, you passing out is like a nightmare, because you obviously
I haven't passed out in my sleep. I've never had, by the way, that also once in the last 5 years. That feeling that you want to wake up, but you can't wake up. That has happened to me once. It's a very disorienting feeling. That I remember distinctly, because I woke up and I was like, I was about to run mad.
We'll speak about nightmares in a bit. We'll go to dreams.
This is not nightmare. This is like, I wanted to wake up because I'm woken up. Like in my head, I'm woken up. And I now want to wake up, go to the restroom or drink water or whatever, right? And this is just my sleep is ending. And I can't wake up. Like my body is refusing to listen to me. Like my hands are not moving, my legs are not moving, physical motion is completely turned off. Supposedly, again, happens to quite a few people at least a few times in their life. It's not an unheard of phenomenon. For some people, this can last a long time. It can last up to like 3 minutes, 4 minutes. In my case, I think it lasted probably 10, 20, 30 seconds or so.
Interesting, but I will now, we'll come back to this subject. We'll move on to Abhijit once. Abhijit.
Yeah.
Number aa gaya.
Yeah.
What dreaming for you?
Here's my chance, right? So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've been a very.
We're on a U/A mode. So,
yes.
Technically,
yes,
there is a U/A mode, which means there is a /A. So it's fine.
Yes. Go so for it. I've been a very studious. Person, right? Like right from my school days and all, you know, studies, marks, rank has meant a lot, right? For me, for my mom and like whatever, right? So the one recurring dream that I have is that I am writing an exam and I don't know the answer for even one question, right? Like I'm completely like, you know, I don't blank. Know. Completely blank, right? And I'm so scared, like, shit, I can't answer even one question. It's exact same dream. I sit in the same chair. It is the same paper. And I don't know anything. And that's the feeling. And then I wake up, right? So that is, I think that dream has been with me for 40 years now, right?
You still get it?
Yes. There are some times when I'm maybe very, 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 very disturbed. I still get it. Thankfully, it's reduced, but I still get it. So that's my, I guess, number one dream by recurrence. Unlike Amitabh, I remember my dreams. So that's the fun part, right?
Are they happy dreams? Like, do you like? Because this dream, I'm sure you cannot like, right?
I like dreams. I like dreams. I like dreaming, and whatever the biochemical setup is, I can if I wake up from a dream, I can actually go back to sleep and resume the dream if I'm liking it. Right? So if it's a happy dream, then nice. I wake up, then I realize I go to the restroom, then I'm thinking, shit, this was a good dream. Then I come back and I just recall the last piece, and it's like, you know, it's kind of continuing from there. So I am very happy. So good dreams, if I get, even if something kind of breaks my sleep, I can again close my eyes, think about it, and then the dream kind of resumes from there.
What are your good dreams like? Sorry to interrupt, but I'm really curious. What are your good dreams like? What are the dreams that make you feel like, okay, I want to come back and, you know, dream? I want to continue dreaming. What is it about usually?
It's whatever. I mean, it's either people or places, right? Like, you know, I'm gone somewhere, or I'm with somebody, or whatever. Right? I've done something. Right? Something good, something nice has happened to me. And then, you know, obviously, like all dreams, I'm at the center of the dream. So it's all happening, it's all about me. So, and then something nice is happening. So I enjoy the feeling, then I can continue the dream. That also, I remember my dreams in vivid detail. It's almost like I can get up and write down that I saw this, I saw this in the dream. So I enjoy my dreams. My dreams get mixed with reality. That's the other unique thing, right? So if a TV is going on in the background, or if like a dog is barking and so on, somehow my brain can incorporate that inside the dream, right? So
basically, there's a door bell ringing, and then it's like it's in the
correct. Like I'm the king, and I'm in the palace, and then there is a doorbell ringing, right? And I'm like, you know, this does not sound correct, right? You know, palace should not have a doorbell. And then
but it's normal, coffee normal. This is how dreams are supposed to function. Your brain is supposed to function.
I think it overlays what you are thinking and what is happening, and is trying to make. Like a coherent story of what you are thinking. I know of people who can walk in sleep, right? Which I think is like the next level of dreaming, right? Which is you are dreaming, you are thinking, and then you actually end up taking action, right? It's a very scary thing, but
you know. Isn't that schizophrenia?
I don't know the technical name for it, but...
No, that is somnambulism.
Somnambulism. Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, I know of people who can get up in their sleep, open the latches of the doors, get out and walk with closed eyes. And I'm you know, scared at the same time, but amazed at the same time that the body and mind can do all this. So I have the Amitabh type dreams where I'm stuck and I cannot get off and the body is refusing to listen to me. But those are more, that one, the exam one, is more related to stress. What I've realized is when I'm kind of under a lot of stress, those are the things that that happen. Right. So generally, if you're...
I was just about to ask you, and again interrupt, this question is again for both of you, right? I just love. So what causes stress and anxiety? Because I have noticed that in myself, right? The day I'm usually stressed and anxious about something, most of the times it's either a work or say a personal situation. Maybe I would have fought with a partner, or I would have fought with my parents about something, or, you know, something like road pe kuch hua types. In those instances, I usually tend to dream about something not that'll, you know, that'll make me gasp for breath, or, you know, not so nice dreams, like not nightmares either, but very anxious ones. So, you know, your heart's beating like really fast and this whole gasping for breath and stuff like that. What causes that in you? Like, are there any life situations that are consistent that causes those things in both of you? Or is it like random?
Anxiety, I mean, it's just like you said, same thing, right? Either relationship or work or stuff happening around. It can be like whatever, like the whole think of recent example, like the whole Afghanistan thing that was going on, right? Those say 2-3 days. It can be like something as far off as like that, or something as close as somebody's not well in the family or something like that. But it can happen. But I guess then it's just a reflection of your state of mind, right? That the dreams are talking about it.
Do you dream of escaping?
Escaping? No.
Like you, Amitabh, do you ever dream of like escaping a life situation or sleep in the knowledge that, look, when I wake up, something should change, something should shift? Do you sleep in that?
I don't remember. Unfortunately, I don't remember even 1-2% of my dreams. Which means, like, if I have dreamt for 8 hours, I don't even remember 2 minutes of it.
Have you had recurrent dreams? Abhijit said, like, that dream that he was talking about, which is recurrent. Do you have any recurrent dream?
because I don't remember, I don't know the answer.
You actually don't have a recurring dream, like something that would cause you anxiety or happiness or something that's like constant?
By nature, I'm not a very anxious person, right? So by nature, I'm not a very anxious person. As I'm growing
older, it's the other party that gets those dreams.
But as I'm growing older, I am realizing that I have some insecurities. But those insecurities, I don't think are appearing in my dreams. Very hard for me to say because I don't remember any of my dreams. But my gut feel is they are not appearing in my dreams. Those insecurities are more more shaping my waking time rather than my sleeping. And they might be shaping my sleeping time also, but I don't know that.
See, for me, those are what ifs, right? So if I'm going through some of major life decisions, right? Then I remember my brain kind of plays out those scenarios, right? Like actually puts me in those places, like something, like if there is like an A, B situation, right? Situation A can happen, B can happen. I actually dream of being in situation A, being in situation B. And again, feel like how I would feel, right, if that thing actually happened. Just like living the both the situations. So
this is like visualizing, you mean? But you're like dreaming in your dream. It's a proper dream where you're analyzing your life position.
So let's say tomorrow I've decided that I'm going to go to my boss and ask for a raise, right? Like, I'm like, you know, I've had enough. I think I'm severely underpaid. I'm going to go ask for a raise. And I know that there's two possibilities. My boss will say, dude, you know, whatever, FO, get out of here. Or he will be like, you know, okay, you know, here it is. I've been waiting, letter is ready, kind of a thing, right? Both, my brain will play out, right? And it is a dream, right? I know it is a dream, but I know how I would feel in either of those situations. So...
Like, would you like think about this even when you're visualizing in your conscious mind, like when you're not sleeping, you're not dreaming, and you're going through these situations, like you think, so tomorrow I'm going to ask a raise, do you play these situations before you sleep? Like, do you prepare for these things and then sleep?
No, I would have thought, I mean, obviously I know that there are two outcomes, right? But I don't but you don't really, when you're planning, right?
You don't, it's play more like out.
It's much more like, you know, you jot it down saying, he will say this, I will say this, he will say this, and this is kind of how it will go. But it's not really like living it, right? This is like a real life simulation that runs saying, okay, this is how it's going to go. So it's like somebody's inside who's running the show.
Amita, would you like your dreams? You said you don't remember much, right? But do you go through, like you said, you don't daydream anymore. But were you daydreaming in the past, in sometimes in your life?
Yeah, till I was about, I think, early teens. Somewhere around that point, it completely stopped.
Define daydream?
So daydream is where you are sitting and saying that... you are imagining, let's say, when I was young, I didn't have enough books, right? Making it up, my exact memory, but something like this. Now, I wanted a lot of books because I was a voracious reader when I was a kid. And we didn't have money to buy books. And the library had only Chacha Chaudhary and all that. So, jada nahi tha uske paas bichara. Wo bhi koi, he was also in a strange place. So I would dream that one day I'll have like 5,000 books and I'm going to sit and read, or one day I will be able to buy, like, same. I like, this is a, by the way, a real dream, right? So we couldn't, I mean, then I thought my parents were strict, but now when I look back, I know that we couldn't afford, like regular chocolates, like we couldn't afford Cadbury's or whatever, so we would buy the cheaper ones. Tabhi mereko yaad bhi nahi hai koi ek do cheaper varieties aata tha, which were desi or local made, right? The Cadbury's was also local made, but at least it was a foreign or a broader global brand. I definitely remember thinking that one day maybe I will be able to eat as many chocolates as I want through the day, right? and then all kinds of complex daydreams also, like maybe I will be a very great writer. Like I wanted to be a writer at least for a few years in my early teens. So till I was about 13 or 14, I wanted to be a writer for much longer, but around 13, 14, these things stopped. But I believed that I would be a very, very, more than successful. I believed that I had a voice, which means I could have told a story. So I used to imagine that if this story I were to say, how would I say it? The same story which I was reading. So that's what daydream is. So basically you're constructing all strange circumstances, but happy circumstances, which means circumstances which are not real, but you're constructing them because you think if that happens, you will be happier or you will be more accomplished, or you would have reached what you wanted, something like that. So I would do that a lot. I know a lot of people who even do that even today, like even at this age, which means let's say people in their 40s or 30s do that.
I still do it, by the way.
I think, by the way, it's considered very healthy. It's very healthy because when you daydream, and essentially even when you dream, you're practicing your imagination circuit, right, in the brain. So it's a very important exercise to do. I don't know why I stopped doing it post-teenage. I just cannot do it. Now, if you tell me to sit and think, I cannot. My brain cannot start processing daydream. Like I can do anything else. Like I'll read something, I will paint something, I will stare at other people, I will watch their body language, I will imagine what they're talking. So I have this habit that when I see other people's lips moving, I try and lip read what they're talking, even if they're sitting 500 meters away. But I will not, I cannot daydream.
Abhijit, do you daydream? Now that you know, you understand what daydreaming is, because it's more like a powerful visualization of your own like ambition, wish, hope, happiness.
I don't daydream. I mean, I don't think I ever daydream.
Like, do you sit? Like, this is how I operate. Like, when I sit and I have a few moments, even when I'm in a call, which is very complex, and now it's like I've switched off. My imagination completely switches on, and I'm like, either, I don't know, like on that day, whatever it feels like, right? If I want to like go out, have a drink somewhere, I'm like actually thinking I'll go to Aromas. I'm like sitting here and drinking like a mocha, or I don't know, I'm picking up my bag, I'm going to London, or life position, like just from an employment perspective, I'm in a better place, I'm working, I'm getting more money on one day, I have a better house to live in on the other.
No. Maybe there is too many distractions, right? I try to, as you were speaking, I was thinking, maybe I end up picking up my phone, check for some notifications, or just check for news or something like that, I guess. Too distracted to kind of be on your own and think of something. But yeah, I mean, not a daydreamer.
I always felt curious, right? I spoke, and I'm probably generalizing, but a lot of my friends actually don't daydream. Like this whole, not consciously, I'm not using visualization, but I think that's what a lot of people call it. Daydreaming in reality is really visualizing, imagining, or whatever, right? Like a lot of them stop doing it, or a lot of them, you know, not categorizing it as a waste of time or anything like that, but probably people find it juvenile, right? I'm putting that term. I'm not really saying this, because I feel that a lot of my friends are so serious in their life. That like they they're constantly so busy with their world, which is not their internal world, but mm-hmm. it's really the world around them. Like, you know, okay, the wars that are happening, or, you know, and it's not about depressing or something. It's about a big unicorn that's just like, you know, it did a IPO, or it got listed in NASDAQ, or on the other side, like, happy things, like they just started, or they've taken a break and they've just gone ahead doing some CSR activity for themselves, or doing, like, so there are different things, but this is really about the world. And I often wonder that, do they pause enough to really look into what they want? Like, do people know what they want? And is this why, like, people dream? Or do they, like, actually escape? I know Amitabh said you don't remember dreams, but how do you approach them?
Question for me, kya?
Huh.
No, like, I actually think daydreaming is good. I don't do it, but I wish I did it for two reasons, right? Because it's essentially a storytelling skill, right? It's a storytelling skill to yourself. And there are huge benefits of building narratives in your head, huge benefits. They help you rationalize the world. They help you reduce your guilt if you have really done something guilty. They help you reduce your depression if you're in depression. They help you play the circumstance which might happen multiple times, so you can think through it. It's a bit like method acting, right? So you're doing it again and again and again till a point where it's become second nature to you. So I actually think that...
Isn't that rationalizing?
It is, but all of life is rationalizing. All of life is narrative building only in your head. Everything you're doing is narrative building only.
I was actually trying to ask a more nuanced question. Rationalizing is around realities, right? So these situations have happened and you're trying to rationalize it. Either you're feeling guilty or angry or happy or whatever. But when what I mean to ask is, when you're daydreaming, isn't that like a step away from what's happening in your real life?
No, I'm saying I don't daydream, but I'm saying that it's not a bad idea to daydream. In fact, I think people who have the ability to daydream consistently and can keep themselves occupied with that for, let's say, an hour or two, have especially in today's day and time, have probably some kind of a superpower, is my honest sense. Because you are able to build narratives, you are able to reconstruct narratives, like simple things, right? You are able to reduce guilt. Otherwise, you are living with a lot of guilt because whatever mistakes you must have done, or whatever stupidity you must have done, you are living with guilt, you are beating yourself up. If you are able to daydream, you can steadily reconstruct a narrative. I am not suggesting it's a great thing ethically or morally, right? This is not an ethical and a moral conversation. This is a survival conversation. I think it is a great surviving skill that human beings can have. Whether it is right ethically or morally is very secondary when you are only talking about yourself and your dreams.
Given a chance, would you do that? Abhijit, like, you have 2 hours, you don't have a phone. Imagine yourself in a space where you don't have any distractions.
Non-distracted.
Right? By distraction, yeah. Like, you don't have, imagine you're in a place where there's nothing, there's no phones, there's nothing, there's just time and you. And pretty much that's it. Would you then get into that zone? Which means I'm trying to understand if it's because of not doing it.
Yeah, I think so. I'll enjoy telling those stories to myself ki tum hoti to aisa hota, tum hoti to waisa hota, whatever, right? Like to play out all of those things in your mind. It's just like, it's a happy feeling, right? It's a little bit like when you had your first couple of beers, right? And then you are like, you know, just in that zone that you're willing to let your mind float around a little bit and so on. So yeah,
it's like a high. Nice.
It's like a high, right? So it's like a high. Your mind is just
high though, right? It's like a mellow high, like.
It's like a mellow high, and then you get into the you get into the zone that Amitabh was telling, which is the passing out zone, right? Which is where you are split into two parts, right? Like there is the practical you, the acting you, right? The one who is behaving, speaking, and so on.
The physical.
And then there is the physical you, and then there is the conscious you, which has lost control over the physical you, and then that is fun situation to be in. I mean, specifically if somebody else is in that zone, it's a fun situation to be in. But internally, right, I think, I don't know, maybe this is about how drugs feel or whatever else, but I mean, it's that feeling where those two conscience have disconnected from each other. And it's like you watching yourself. So without control, right? So you know something, you should not be seeing this. You should not be doing that. You should not be going there. But there you are doing it, going there. So
I got hooked on to the one line you used. You said, tum hoti to aisa hota. So I wanted to understand, this has been something on my mind, right? Do men visualize about like in a, I'm not talking about the wet dreams part, but really about
desires, partner. Right?
Desires, no. Right? Actually, I'm not even going towards desires. Where I'm not talking about the carnal desires. What I'm talking about is, in fact, a more, you know, like it'd be nice if I'm with her. It'd be nice if you know, I had like a few more moments with this person, her, him, whatever. But mostly her, in fact, because I'm talking about slightly in that zone, which is like gray. And I don't know, do men do that? Because you're two men, I'm asking the wise goat. Still U/A territory.
I mean,
you think about it. Yeah. Meanwhile, Abhijit is answering, don't come up with a blank shot. Huh? Abhijit?
Yes. So far, we have had an Amitabh who has told us that he does not remember the dreams and he has stopped daydreaming. So Amitabh, you're basically recusing yourself from the discussion.
Huh. And so giving this, theories also about like...
Correct. Why is it the right thing or the wrong thing?
Yeah, yes. Intellect.
Tum hoti to aisa hota. So, yeah. No, men do it. I mean, I don't know about... I mean, I don't think I have had a heart-to-heart with other men on such topics, but yeah. It's part of dreaming, right?
Nice. And it's interesting, right? Do men talk about these things? I've seen, like, I've hung out with many men generally, right? Man friends. But a lot of them... So I have noticed, and I could be generalizing and you guys should correct me if I'm wrong, right? But yeah, they can be raucous, they're fun. You know, they're sad, but they never talk about what sadness is like. What is it that? So, for example, people can talk about, you know, oh, somebody passed away in their life, somebody is going through a divorce. They don't talk about what in that divorce is what's bothering them, which means they don't talk about the exact trouble, right? They will either talk about the aftermath, or they'll either talk about the context, or they'll like, you know, give a whole theory. But they never talk about, I am hurt because this person said this to me. Girls talk like that. Like I have a lot of my girlfriends, right? Like friends who are girls. When we hang out, we talk about like real feelings. Oh, you know what? My husband said this. I was so upset. And when we talk like that, do men talk like that? You know what, my wife said this, I got very angry, or you know what, we fought and this is not coming out nice. Are you guys chatty? Like, I know that's, it's not a negative connotation, but I really am asking, like, do you guys talk like that?
Depends on the, I'm going to shut up and let Amitabh answer that.
No. In fact, both of you should take a shot each because I'm very curious.
Okay.
And this is not stepping away from dreams. I have like a, I have a continuation question to this. So it's, I just want to know.
Yes. I mean, the simple answer is yes. It depends on how good a friend you are. You know, being a man, you are typically brought up with these notions that you don't kind of show emotions, like whatever, men don't cry kind of a thing, right? But if you are like, I have few friends when I've kind of been friends with for many years, and I'm comfortable discussing these things, right? So we would, like how you are explaining, it would probably happen over a beer or so, but yeah, all the gory details.
Interesting. Amitabh?
Yeah, I don't think it's a men versus woman question. I think it's just a question. I don't talk like this, not because I think it's bad or good. I don't know who to talk to. So I don't.
Next time.
Abhijit is offering. So. Amitabh, I think when you're doing it, Abhijit, please record that session. Not because I want to see it, but I want you to go over it again and again to understand if Amitabh actually talks or does he like again give this whole, you know, circumstance leading to this is like this, this chaos, and he'll use all the words, but not really the bullseye of the point. But interesting. So men do, it's not a men-woman thing, according to you folks. It's not a man-woman. No.
It's just lesser acknowledged. I think that's what it is.
Nice. So do you have like pals from the past? Like, is there, are there any best friends? You have like good, close friends?
Yeah. From like 20 years, maybe 20, 25 years. So when we catch up, and then it's like the whole gossip, whatever you want to call it, right? Like, you know, there are no formalities then. It's just a heart to heart.
Amitabh, I don't know. So I again, for both of you, but I want you to answer first. Have you ever fought with your friends earlier in the past, and do you ever dream of making it up?
I fight all the time, which is, so it's not, I don't have to go too far in the past. I mean, I can probably tell you three instances from this week, but yeah, I fight all the time. The question is,
do you dream of making it up, or do you dream that, okay, I have made up and life's all good, and then you wake up and realize...
No, I don't dream. That's a good question. I don't dream of that, but I dream of like, dream is not the right word, but I think that, look, these are the... So, I do this, right? Like I have 10 things to tell him or her, right? So I'll go through that a few times. This is a bit like method acting. I don't know whether this is dreaming. This is more like method acting. So I'll go through it a few times, and as I'm going through it, I'll be more and more convinced that if I meet him or her, I'm gonna tell her these 20 things or tell him these 20 things, and hopefully it should resolve the conflict. What ends up happening is when I usually meet that person, the first few things he or she says puts me back on my shell or in my shell, because I don't know why it happens. It happens to me many times. Like, I do this even with, let's take an example which is very neutral, right? Neutral as in which I should actually do a good job with, which is my kid, right? So we fight a lot.
lot is an understatement. We probably, other than physical fighting, we do everything else, right? Like we scream at each other, we criticize each other, we say, "Tera painting bakwas hai, mera painting bakwas hai." Because we are talking like 2 5-year-olds talking to each other. And I always then think that chalo yaar matlab main 40 saal ka hai ya main 45 hai aur wo 10 hai ya whatever matlab usko main kyun peet raha hai matlab it's okay no I will lose it's better I just lose and let him be happy and then I plan ki acha now I'll go and tell him this is how I lose and you are the winner and you are the undisputed world champion and blah 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 but I reach there and the first sentence he says and I am back in my element. I mean, the first word he says, he doesn't have to say a sentence also. The first word he says, I am back in my element. So,
Abdin, is this like similar to your pay wala conversation? The way you play out the pay situation with your boss, is this like similar? Like you play out all the scenarios and then you go back to the boss and then the first thing he says is like you've lost the ground.
You lost the entire plot. This is where you're supposed to say something else and then you're like shit, jaane de kya. So I mean I think with kids I have a different setup, right? I don't fight. With it. Very rare, like when I'm kind of pissed with myself, then I will fight with my kids. But generally, I don't fight. I mean, it's okay. You do whatever types. So it's more. I don't know. Amita will have a name for the philosophy, right? But that is like, you know, your life to whatever types, right? I don't know. It's like you know. I try to tell a couple of times ki nahi ye aisa nahi karte, ye correct hai, ye correct. After that, I say, do it to your life. Do I don't know if I can use the words, but like, you know, bhaag me out. Jo karna hai, karo.
Like, is that out of anger or is that out of like, I'm tired, do whatever you want?
I'm tired, but I think I realized ki there is a limit, right? Ki kya hai? Kitna samjhaoge types, right? Like, some of these things, I realized that only life will teach you, right? There is no amount of explaining that you can do to somebody that they will understand. Only when they live it is when they will understand. So I teach my kids, right? When at least like a couple of weeks before exam, I'll teach my elder ones. So the other day I was teaching I get frustrated ki kya hai tumko nahi aa raha hai, you know, simple things. And my elder one is like, you know, why are you behaving like this? You know, why are you so crazy? And then the other day I was teaching the younger one, right? And then my elder one is like, you know, as usual, like, you know, like a satellite orbiting around the place. And then I'm teaching the younger one and I'm saying, and it's like, you know, I had 6 chocolates. My friend gave me 4 chocolates. How many chocolates do I have? That's the question, right? And that is like, you know, 6 + 4 = 10, right? So, and then my younger one is like, okay, I have 6 chocolates. My friend gave me 4 chocolates. So, and then I'm like, you know, so it is 6. And I'm waiting for this word called plus. And then the younger one says -4. And this, remember this clearly, right? And my elder one said, is this how it goes when you are teaching me? And that was like that gotcha moment, right? For him. I think from that day, he's been ultra nice to me when I'm trying to teach him something, right? I think once he took that observer position, right? When he was able to see 2 people interacting and the other guy can't figure out 6 + 4, and the one guy is trying to explain. And he said, okay, now I think I know what goes on. So, you know, maybe I'll listen. So this I have tried to explain for many years, right? But he's never understood that, you know, it is simple, straight, and it's frustrating to try to get it in your head. But wo ek din mein, just one incident and players, you know, flipped. Right? So I've seen some of these and I've said, okay, haan, tumko jab, like whenever it is time for you to know or learn, you will learn. So I'm not going to, how do I say, spend my time trying to teach you some of these things. Amitabh, I'm sorry, I'm kind of polar opposite of your thinking. But...
no, we're not talking about parenting styles, but that.
Sorry.
No. That's okay. I wanted you to talk that example because I was just trying to see you give up because of anger or because of you know, tiredness. But trying to get back, I have one question. So if assume you have this time or you know pause right now, and this is more a thought experiment, and I would just love to know, right? What given a chance, what would you dream of? Daydream of. Now, so in this current position, imagine your day to day. What would you dream of?
Like before you joined, right? Amitabh and I were talking about startups, right? Like, you know, for your funding scene of startups and so on. So I would kind of like to sit and think of, okay, how I would do a startup that is like a media startup. And I know Amitabh and I have talked about these and, you know, how it will be. And then, you know, how, you know, we will be like the most listened to thing in the world. And, you know, people are going to office and then have their headphones on and they're like, shit, man, this is cool stuff, right? Have you like, there is like the Instagram likes are going on and people are, you know, can't have enough of us. And they're like, you know, we are at these award functions and people are like, oh, Amitabh, oh, Abhijit, oh, these are the guys.
No, wait,
don't stop. So I can't stop daydreaming now, right? So we're getting all these awards. We are like, you know, global sensation. Like, you know, Brazil has come in and those people are saying, oh, why don't you do something for us? You know, it's a very great thing that you are doing. So I say, yes. It's such a ego booster.
But that's a possibility that can happen, right?
It can happen. And I can just play it, right? That and there's very little that cannot happen. So
nice. Amitabh, what about you? You're on mute.
What will I daydream of? My dreams are a little dream to nahi, but my ideal situation is a little radical, like which is what I think I was talking yesterday also. I mean, I was not talking but I was giving a hint of, I sometimes feel that I need to slow down. So and slow down as in not that I am an overachiever or anything like that, but it is just slow down in terms of what I'm doing. And and I feel that again, I don't know, this is not daydreaming, this is more of thinking, right? A lot of meditation really. But I think that I should go back to content in some form or shape. So be it a, like, that is why we are experimenting with this podcast and all, right? So I feel my real while coincidentally or luckily I think I am fairly good at my work also, but I think my real joy is in two strange things for a introvert, right? Storytelling and people. So I don't mind running with large teams because I enjoy that. That's where my passion comes in. And I don't mind working very hard on storytelling and narrative building, because again, that's where my best version comes out internally. So as long as I can marry those two skills, so I will be very happy. So yeah, I think I meditated a lot saying, should I go in that direction?
should I figure out, like a COO role or a scaling role, or a, versus my current role, which I thoroughly enjoy. And I see this always, and I genuinely mean, my current role is a very, very mathematics, programming. It's an intellectually highly rewarding role. Versus I sometimes feel that at least I should start preparing for the next 5 years or next 10 years to go back to content. But then I have a random worry, which is again not related to dreaming, that when I'm 50 or 55, the kind of content or the kind of storytelling I might do might be completely missing the audience. So now you have to stay relevant to your audience. So there is all those kind of controversies in my head. But those are the kind of talking to myself that happens a lot. But I don't think it's really talking. It's just thinking through the nuances and coming up with the right answers.
So interesting. Both of you have spoken of alternate careers, if I'm not like trying to stereotype or trying to put a structure about what you're saying.
No, sorry. I actually think I like my career, right? I like my career. I like my job. What I'm really trying to say is, in fact, I love my job. I see that many times publicly, right? What I'm really trying to say is that the aspects of my role that I enjoy the most are where I have to build narratives, plans, stories. And the other aspect I build, I love is getting people aligned, because that's a very complex problem. I think, unfortunately, now that I've seen so many startups and young firms and large firms, I think we so underestimate the problem of aligning people. And which I think is easier in politics or other places, right? Because there you can play the identity card. So you can say, aap gareeb ho. You can say, oh, you're a Hindu, you're a Muslim. Or you can say, oh, you are from Assam, I am from Maharashtra. Or you can say, you're a boy, I am a girl. You can't do that in business, right? You can't really play the identity card. You can play the identity card with somebody else, which means, what you can do is you can go walk into a room and say, Parle ji biscuits are fuck all, they are Britannia, let's kill them, right? So that way you can play the identity card.
We've but killed you, Parle as a sponsor.
Actually, I should know, but I have my allegiances to Britannia for some personal reasons. I have personal reasons to have allegiance to Britannia. I'm saying it's much harder when you start thinking about these things, and I know we are digressing a bit from the dreaming topic, but it is related in a way because it's about narrative and storytelling. I think it's incredibly hard to align people and organizations. And I think that requires superhuman ways to precisely leverage words, meanings, emotions, sentiments. And I've just been interested in this for 5-10 years. I've not really become very good at it, but I think a lot about these things. Like, these are the things I read about. I read about the science of communication. Those are the things which really excite me. And when I realize that, oh, this is why this thing is said in this particular way in this ad or this message, whatever, it doesn't have to be ad, I truly enjoy that process a lot. So anyway, that's what I was trying to say. I was not trying to say it's an alternative career. I was trying to say very late in my life I have started realizing what my real skills are. And I have also realized that those real skills have a real value, but I am now wondering how to leverage them.
How to convert that into cash.
हाँ और फन मतलब कैश यूजुअली कैश विल फॉलो फन सो इफ यू कैन कन्वर्ट इट टू फन यू कैन कन्वर्ट इट टू कैश
इंटरेस्टिंग आई विल मूव नाउ सो वी हैव टॉक्ड अबाउट ड्रीम्स देन वी हैव टॉक्ड अबाउट डे ड्रीम्स नाउ वी शैल टॉक अबाउट नाइटमेयर्स So this is where Amitabh, you go first, because I remember you stalling a conversation of yours at the beginning, saying we'll come back to the nightmares bit. Do you guys get nightmares? What triggers them? What kind of nightmares? Are there any repetitive nightmares you have? I mean, we can't not talk about nightmares, right? When you're talking about dreams. I mean,
no, I don't remember. There are a few days I wake up. Knowing that whatever happened in my dream stage was not great, or I didn't like it, my reaction to it is bad, but I can't remember anything. And these things are usually so I have again. Might not be relevant to today, and we can stop it if you. But I genuinely fear the experience of dying, and that is one of my fears. So it's not, and I've never had it. So this is the funky bit, right? The funky bit is you fear something which you've never had, but there is such an unknown element of it that you fear it, or you create a demon out of it, or you demon nahi bolna chahiye. It's not like I hate it, right? It's just that digression, but this could be a long-winded rabbit hole, a long-winded digression. So the more I've spent time in the last few years, last 10-15 years. And in fact, before you joined, Abhi and I were talking somewhat of this, but slightly at a higher level. My thing is, look, I've realized that most things in life don't move you dramatically forward. Right? Most things. There are a few things which move you forward, like a great photograph moves you, a great art moves you, a good piece of food moves you. A great friend or a great conversation moves you. A great relationship can move you over a long term. But things we usually spend a lot of time, inordinate amount of time. So how much time do we spend on relationships or art or music or reading or cooking or whatever? Very little, right? Most of us probably spend, let's say 10-20% of our time on that. But we spend 80% of our time, either 80% of our waking time or 70% of our waking time on work, on something like that. So what happens in my head and what has happened in my head in the last 10 years is there is this genuine realization that a lot of what we think matters doesn't matter. Right now the question then comes into my head is, okay, what matters? Right, let's agree that we now know the negative set, we know what doesn't matter, and I'm very convinced they don't matter. It's not like I'm speaking as a pop psychologist or a pop guru. I'm very convinced that there's a A/B testing which has gone in, and I'm convinced that those things which don't matter don't matter. So now you are trying to figure out negative set mil gaya, positive set kya. The positive set mein, let's say there are 5 elements there, right? Let's say a great meal with a friend or a great photograph is there in that list. Now, for me, what's also definitely on that list is I have been trying to be a good Buddhist for the last 20-25 years. And I read a lot of Buddhist books, right? Like I must have finished, even this year, I think I've finished about 4 or 5. Every year I've read at least 4 or 5 or 10 Buddhist books. And I pick up the fairly rational, scientific ones. I don't pick up the ritual ones. And the more I'm getting into that rabbit hole, right? The more I am worried that if what these guys are saying is true, right, then oh fuck, we really have screwed up what was this lifetime, right? Because if there is even an element of truth, right, in what they are saying, because some of it is not verifiable, though they claim it is verifiable with your mental state, I am not even a decent practitioner of meditation, right? So it's for advanced meditation practitioners to verify those states. So that becomes an anxiety, and hence it is related to the point of death. So what if at the point of death you realize, saying, oh fuck, we really mugged up our life. What we were chasing didn't mean anything in any scheme. And all indications are that is true. But we don't know what is the thing to chase now. But let's assume that what the Buddhists have been trying to say for a long time is true. And I cannot, like others, say, achha, mujhe malum hi nahi tha, right? I cannot lie to myself. Right? I have to say that maine to padha tha. Maine padha tha, maine sikha tha, maine religiously meditate kiya tha. So abhi, that is a strange, very strange kind of anxiety and insecurity to carry in your head. Long answer to a very simple question. Sorry, and probably a boring answer. Right?
No, it's not about whether it's boring or interesting. It's your answer, right? And that's what matters. It's not our opinion, or it's not about judging or anything like that, right? It's just curiosity, and we're trying to understand how each of us react or how each of us are in certain situations. Abhijit, nightmares. Anxious one, right? Is that like a nightmare material for you? Is like, so you're saying that that fear of failing in an exam is what's the worst nightmare you ever had?
No, it's the recurring one, which is
the worst nightmare you've had. Like, even if it had, if you've had it once,
I'd remember now. Like, yeah.
It's just stuck in your head. You were like, shit scared, whatever. Like,
no,
I want to go and sleep with my parents kind of thing.
That has happened when I've seen horror movies and stuff like that. So some of that has happened when I've seen deaths, right? Like, you know, I've been to a funeral, like come back and those things when I've, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, when I've seen some of the horror movies, like The Ring and stuff like that, I'm like, shit, I should not have seen this thing, right? So, yeah, so those are...
Sorry, just to expand on the death factor, because Amitabh had this answer and, you know, his fear about death and the whole... Do you also, like, what scares you when you go and see somebody dead or something, like what scares you? Like the idea of ghost and stuff like that scare you, or
no, it's not about ghosts, right? It's just the, I think the nightmare part of it is the how to say, it's mostly the uncertainty of it, right? Like just last couple of weeks ago, I got to know somebody, like I knew very well, passed away, right? And I'm planning to meet this person the weekend, right? Like, you know, we've been planning, yeah, I'll call him and I'll say, okay, look, this thing we have to do, so we're going to meet and all of that stuff. And then like a common person calls me and say, look, do you know he passed away? I'm like, shit, what happened, right? So, and that shock, and then it leaves a thing in your head, and then when you're sleeping in the night or whatever, kind of comes back to you, right? I think those are that whole uncertainty about, you know, how things can change, maybe that's what it is, right? That, again, back to your own self, how things can kind of radically change with some of these uncertain events. And death, I guess, is like the biggest one of those, right? It's that one thing that you don't really, because you don't know, right? The kind of things spin after that. Like, you don't know how things are going to settle after that, right? So it's a kind of a difficult mind game, right? It's a difficult scenario or situation to plan. So yeah, but otherwise it's mostly just scary stuff like movies, scenes, horror
basically. Horror,
mostly horror, yeah.
Stuff that you don't understand.
Yeah.
Changing, shifting the mood. I'm like interested, 40-something, right, both of you?
40 you a lot. Not 40-something.
It doesn't matter the age. Let's not talk about it. It is just a number. Let's assume it's just that. Do you guys believe you're romantic? It's not about generic. This is like specific. Do you, like you both, Abhijit, Amitabh, do you consider yourselves a romantic person?
Yes.
I think I see the romance in the arts and in that side.
Not that side at all. I'm actually asking like a man to a partner, man, women, whatever, right? Like, do you believe that there are pinks in life, the happy moments, the gifts, the sweet nothings, you know, the that zone? Like, do you believe in that, or do you believe you exist in that zone?
No, my that is what I was trying to answer. What I was trying to say was, I don't know the answer well, but I don't know whether I am romantic in isolation, but I think when you mix up art, and it can be pop art also, it doesn't have to be art, but when you mix up art with a human being, then I can be fairly romantic. Which means if I can read poetry with a person, I can have a lot of fun. If I can, like I tried singing today and it was horrible. I was singing solo. And I recorded myself and I almost wanted to jump off the window because it was sounding so horrible. But anyway, that's a digression. It was sounding so terrible. I mean, it was like, Bhagwan, matlab, itna to matlab kharab nahi ho sakta hai main. But anyway, so I can sing with a person. I can travel. Like my idea of fun is strange, right? Like I don't mind traveling with a person. So yeah, I think those are things I can eat with a person. Like I can happily sit and eat with a friend or with a partner for 3 hours, 2 hours. I like the experience of eating. Like I, in spite of all the fights I have with my kid, we both eat. We both happily sit and eat and we explore new food. We talk a lot. We are both in our own ways junkies and foodies. So we will eat random things. We will try every missile in town. So every single missile house we know by the back of our hand, kiska missile kaise banta hai. So that, yeah, if that is romantic, then yes, we can do that.
Abhijit, what's your idea of romance? Because now that there are specific definitions, I want to understand what you say when you're romantic, right? You came up with this emphatic, yes, I am. So, you know, very confident, yes. What do you
confident,
do?
Confident, like, yes. I mean, basic, starting with basically, right? You know, like love, right? You know, affection, love. Whatever, really. Preparation, nice. Making, whatever, right? So the whole nine yards, right? I mean, in classic, typical romantic thing, whatever, right? Flowers, wine, whatever else you can, like movies, whatever you can think of. I think I personally enjoy doing that. So, yeah, the base level, yes. Like Amitabh is saying, you know, maybe food, maybe stuff. I'll probably be thinking, ki, where is this thing going? Right? Amitabh is enjoying the food, whereas I'm like, you know,
in anticipation. like you're in anticipation of what happens next. So there's an agenda to the romance.
I thought the agenda is romance, right?
But towards an objective, like you have a strong idea of the means, the ends, and the everything. You have like the whole, the right, interesting. So, you guys want to add anything on this? Because on this note, I'd actually like to, because I find it like quite nice. We've spoken about dreams, we've spoken about daydreaming, we've spoken about nightmares, and then we spoke about a few things that make us feel good or not, I don't know. So at this point, I'd absolutely love to pause. I've had a lot of fun this chat, in this chat.
So quick question. Do you dream, Dipti? And same question. Yes, but
I don't dream. I dream. I like dreaming a lot. I like dreaming a lot. I started off actually on, I thought, I said, I love daydreaming. So it's like, it's not a surprise that I love dreaming. I love it because it lets me live in an alternate world. It gives a lot of hope for me in life.
And you remember your dreams.
Yeah, because I basically orchestrate my dreams. So I keep telling my subconscious what I want, that it keeps throwing, it gives me an opportunity every single night to feel and, you know, think about, I completely train my subconscious. So most of my dreams are like stuff that I love. Very rarely, I mean, very rarely is wrong word, but so if I'm going through a rough phase in my life, that keeps, so the happier memories, because I always try and think of that before I sleep. Like I try and, so on a sad day, I'm like thinking about happy memories that I've had with either that person or in that circumstance or a good place and time at work where I've had a high. I try and sleep with that position because otherwise I can't sleep. I can't sleep if I'm sad. I can't sleep if I'm angry. I'm like awake through the night and I'm a terrible insomniac. So for me to go to sleep, I need to end it on a positive note. And so that is what, that's the last conscious thought. What I feel or what I would feel if I'm happier or positive or whatever. So that is what eventually makes me sleep. So those are the dreams I get. I like dreaming. I think that's, in fact, I like living. I like life because I have the ability to dream. And that's the only thing which is in my conscious control. Because everything else I don't control, right? Like Afghanistan happens, ghar pe fight happens, bahar workplace pe fights happen, friends ke saath fights happen, misunderstandings. All of these are like part of life, right? I don't know. I can't control anything and I wake up. It's not like I'm best behaved because I have absolutely the ability to fight back. I am all sorts of I'm totally like one fisherwoman when it comes to fighting the closest folks. I don't hold back. I give my all in that fight. So it consumes. Like, I love living my life sometimes. Like fullest. So if I'm angry, I'm very angry. If I'm sad, I'm very sad. If I'm happy, I'm very happy. But I need to end it on a good note. Otherwise, good I can't. Note.
And do you know when you're dreaming? Do you know that you're dreaming?
I know I'm dreaming. I know I'm dreaming. I'm in that alternate. Sometimes I don't. And those are the times that are best. And when I know that I'm dreaming about something, but I like the dream, I'm like, I'm just letting it go. I'm not waking up happy. Till it ends.
Just yeah, sailing in that dream.
So. Yeah. No, but it just gives me the ability to be a little more happier. As I said, I wish I controlled a few things, but in the past couple of years, like as I grow older, I'm becoming a lot more accepting of the fact that, look, I don't control anybody else. I can't control people's emotions towards how I am in my life or, you know, personally and professionally in many places. So it's not about avoiding fight or conflict, but it's more accepting that yeah, conflicts happen. And dreaming gives me that getaway. It's like that
escape.
Yeah, escape. And I like those escapes. Like I need them. I like them. I like totally. So most of the, like I remember, I obviously grew up in a very conservative place. Right? Till my 12th standard, you're not allowed. Or talking to people is not like expression is not very encouraged. Not just PDA, like even random expression. Friends don't hug and all of that, right? I mean, husband, wife don't touch in our families, hands in public places and stuff like that. So it's like that. So it all happens in your head, right? So if you have a crush on somebody, you keep telling in your head that you'd make a family with them. You'll have two kids. You'll have like whatever. You do all of that in your head. But there's no way in hell that I would have that courage to go walk up to that person and say, look, I have a crush on you. I don't know what happens later. Right? I don't control the outcome. So it's like, and then there is this whole, oh, what will people think?
Mm-hmm.
So these are, I mean, just as an example, I'm just saying. But along these lines, and you live your dream, you're happy. So there's nothing, just parallel world mein chalta rehta hai.
Metaverse.
Ha.
Metaverse, as it is called nowadays.
Ha, metaverse, if that's the right word. That's how I live.
Okay, I think this has been a fun chat. I mean, I have enjoyed this chat.
Yeah.
This has been a lot of fun. And it's been really nice. And thank you. And back to you.
Thank you, Deepthi. My pleasure. Stop recording.
Yes, thanks, everyone.